Okay, hi everybody, and good evening. A few adjustments here as I'm going to be mostly handling this particular meditation and discussion. But if I really need help, I think Tuya will be around somewhere, and it already is looking like I.
I am here for you.
Yes, okay, thank you. Thank you. Well, it is an ongoing process that we are engaged in. As you probably know, I give you a little rundown. I know that you have been reading the news and are probably as up on this as I may be. I just want to say that Mitch McConnell is the head of the Senate, the majority party in the Senate. And was it yesterday, I think, that he basically called President-elect Biden, he called him President-elect. And this was something that many of the people representing the red have failed to do. They've stood by in silence. They've stood by in silence as the dweller in the White House, the occupant of the White House, has continued to push lies and misleading statements with regard to fraud. The greatest or the most conscientious of the people involved in the election have said no, this was an election fair and square and maybe even better than most in terms of its supervision and its exactitude. There's always going to be mistakes, and maybe, one or two people will try to pull something. That kind of thing always happens, but nothing in general and nothing that would change the results. Okay. Now, we have, however, the White House continually pushing for some kind of floor fight within the House of Representatives for January 6th, when in fact the results of the electors' vote will be tallied and registered by the present Vice President, Mike Pence. And there's been a big backlash against Senator McConnell because he finally recognized reality, and he realized that it would be just very bad for the Republican Party if this kind of lying and fraudstering, if you will, continued. So there's going to be, and he's trying to dissuade the people in the Senate from being involved, but there are four or five who may wish to be involved, and the floor fight may occur. This is the last, of the opportunities that Donald Trump has to thwart the democratic process. And I don't mean the party, I mean democracy. As a matter of fact, democracy in the United States at the moment, because of the state of mind of many people, is imperiled. And these tens of people, maybe even, over 100, see nothing wrong in depriving people of their vote for reasons which are the most minor. technicalities and are simply being utilized in order to produce a winner of their choice. Winning has come to mean everything. You know, DK, in his book, The Problems of Humanity, speaks about the psychological rehabilitation of the nations. Now, that was following World War II, and it meant many things in those days because so many nations had been destroyed and subject to terror because of the Axis powers. And there needed to be a regeneration of the psyche of the people in those nations and the nation as a whole. We're not so much in a different position now. We have allowed the capacity for critical thinking, for logical understanding, for a broad view, for an impartial point of view. We have allowed that to occur, and it has led to a disintegration of the thinking faculty. Now, maybe one has to expect that, because since the United States is the inheritor of the Piscean civilization, that way of being and of thinking has to go through a kind of pralaya. And we are passing through this pralaya when we witness the withering of the law, the uprising of lawlessness on all sides, and we wait for the Christ, at this time the Bodhisattva, to manifest himself from age to age for the salvation of the righteous and the destruction of the evildoers. Of course, it's a temporary destruction. You cannot, you know, the inner God is never destroyed, but old forms have to go. And the United States is very much a target at this time because of the second ray soul and the Aquarian energy and the place where the United Nations has, let's call it, its main headquarters, which, as I've said before, may well be the place where the Christ sets up his headquarters. I mean, we can't really presume to know, but it can be, and especially as the capital city of the United States moves to New York. Now, that's a very interesting transfer of power, because after all, it is a great planetary center on the sixth ray of idealism. And what we need is inclusive idealism and not the kind of narrow, factional, frictional idealism which leads to war all the time. So there's a reason why the battle for democracy worldwide, really, is focused at this time in the United States. Meanwhile, other potentates are passing laws which make it more and more difficult to be different, let's just say. Hungary is doing that, and maybe Brazil is doing that, and there are other places where authoritarianism is gaining a very strong foothold. So, our work, obviously, is to understand, to work esoterically behind the scenes in line with the plan, attempting to precipitate the good, the beautiful, and the true in any way that we can understand, and to have confidence in ourselves. We're just a little group, and there are other little groups, okay? But they have the occult meditative methods. through which they can operate. And so do we. More and more, we have to take our place, our places, as members of the new group of world servers, a great organ of expression for the hierarchy of souls, for the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. Now we're going to meet with fanaticism all the time. It's just one of the conditions, as I said before, the majority of personalities in any country are on the sixth ray and third ray, and they attempt at all costs to convince you, to persuade you, and to, in a way, dominate your thought so that you accept what they say. We had an instance of that last night, you know, obviously a fanatical spirit at work, and that's how the attacks come. And that's just mild compared to what's out there. So we have to find the way to put what powers we have on the side of democracy, on the side of fulfilling the will of the people all over the world, in the United States and in other countries. So because the divine will requires the will of every little human being. And when you sum all that together, then you get the more total picture of what the divine will really is. So, okay, tonight, I don't even know what CCP is. Someone is asking, what about the CCP have an army being trained? Look, you know, violence is just in general. Violence is possible anywhere. And the great danger, as far as I can see, is the possibility of the declaration of martial law if nothing else works. People say it's a partial martial law, okay. But in the Philippines, martial law was declared by then President Marcos, and it lasted for 14 years of completely autocratic rule. So this is something that must be held back. And there are steps now being taken by people who can think to make sure that things go according to the will of the people, and we will support it as well. All right. Now, as I say, you know, it's not so nice as when Tuya does it, you know, with the music and everything, but I'll just do a little bit. All right. Now, we're still in the Sagittarian period of Advent. It is the great coming of the Christ into the hearts of humanity. You can feel that growing. It's such a beautiful thing. And, you know, a special season with the music and with the forgiveness and the upliftment and all those things. We're very close to that now. We have the solstice coming up, a very busy day on the 21st, and some Christmas broadcasts, and then we will have our all-night vigil, all day and all night, 24-25 hours, and you're welcome to join us at times which are reasonable for you. I'm afraid Tuya and I have thrown reason to the wind every year, and we just somehow live through the night, celebrating one entry after another of an area of the earth into the new year. We cannot hope that the next 4 years or so, a little more, will be just peaceful and going along as one. They will be very challenging, and we have to stay alert, obviously. Okay. We have, in just a moment, I'm going to bring up the paragraph that we did not, you know, complete last night. And we'll see how it looks. We have, you know, it's so interesting. If anybody has studied the Gemini nature of the United States, the whole idea of Mars in Gemini in the founding chart of the Declaration of Independence, whichever chart you use, the middle of the night chart or the later in the afternoon chart, Mars does not move from Gemini. And it's the story of the Civil War. And it's the story of a great battle between brothers, the personality and the angel of the presence. They are brothers in a way. And even the constellation Gemini is set up that way. So you have two major stars, one of which is really six stars, Castor and Pollux. Pollux is a giant star, and Castor is a series of three doubles, making six altogether. So the symbolism is very clear when you look at the maps, our esoteric maps. One seventh plane, the highest, and then six subsidiary planes, all derived from it. But we have this Civil War theme. And what is more connected with the esoteric Civil War than the battle between the angel of the presence and the dweller on the threshold, which must one day be subsumed by the angel. That's what's going on right now in an esoteric way. The dweller, through ignorance, of course, naturally, is asserting its selfish ways. And so far, you know, it's a balance, a very, very close balance. It looks like the indigo powers in the United States, let's say, and maybe in all humanity, are a little stronger than the dweller powers. Maybe. Now that could flip. And humanity would be in big trouble. When we had the great wars of the 20th century, and let's just say First and Second World War, well, the dweller at first proved stronger and almost brought humanity down, except for the intervention of the Lords of Liberation. So this battle between the brothers, we used to call it the blue and the gray, you know, the grays for the Confederate armies and the blue for the Union under Lincoln, a great synthetic avatar of a humankind. And now we have the blue and the red. Okay. Nothing wrong with the color red, but when it's used as an exoteric color for the sixth ray, which is passing out of incarnation, there's plenty of trouble that can come from it. So let's, before we get into the meditation, and I'm, you know, I will lead that, or if Tuya is feeling like leading it, she certainly welcome for my part. Okay. But I'm going to switch to the paragraph we didn't do, and hopefully this is all about the new group of world servers. And you know, really, we have to think of ourselves increasingly as members of that serving group. It's another step beyond being a man or woman of goodwill. It's another step. And it's certainly a step beyond simply aspiring. These people are really doers. Whether they work internally or externally, they actually bring the plan into existence. So what this is all about here, if you can see it well, I hope so, too, you can alert me if I'm off. The general idea from Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, page 164, is that there's a gradual engendering of the divine idea in human consciousness. Now, when you think about what we often think about, it's not necessarily of the highest quality. Now, maybe for people like ourselves who are really studying, you know, the ageless wisdom and really have an affiliation of some kind, at least, with the spiritual hierarchy, maybe we are getting those higher ideas, even just a little bit. Maybe we are. But when you look at where the average human consciousness is, it's not there yet. And that's one of our big tasks. If more people thought in a way that was filled with spiritual understanding, even if just a little beginning of that, and not just dogmatic adherence to an unchanging concrete idea, you know, we'd have a different world. So it all begins with the power of thought, and we can do something about that. Now, we talked about a precipitation last night, a little bit, and there were two precipitations, and the second one is the second precipitation must be more consciously brought about by humanity itself. I suppose one precipitation is in a way induced by the higher powers invoking and thus evoking humanity, you know. And this one, humanity must be involved. And it is to facilitate that the new invocation, facilitate this, that the new invocation has been given and for this reason must be widely distributed. Well, you know, this was a long time ago and it has been widely distributed. And what is it? I don't know the details, but translated in, you know, well over 100 languages. And DK insists on its power. Now, he also insists on the power of all the great invocations. And we have to take a look. Is this one invocation number 2, which really saved humanity's life in a way? The Lords of Liberation, if they had not intervened, the Axis powers would have obtained the atomic energy secrets, and that would have led to the destruction of Western civilization and, you know, the A-bomb within the States and in other places of Europe and so forth. But they intervened. They intervened. And DK says, I can't quite tell you the method that they did use, but it was again in the power of thought, the demanding invocation by the, I guess it was pretty much the German fifth ray group, was deflected away from the minds of that demanding group. And instead, the group that was working on behalf of the United Nations received the secrets and were able to be in possession of the atomic power in that way. DK said, you know, be very careful now. Only certain nations can be trusted with the atomic, hydrogen, whatever it is now, bomb. And obviously, when you look at what's happened today, some nations who would not get DK's trust on this matter are in possession of those secrets and have built atomic arsenals. So we're still in a very perilous situation still. Okay. Now, let's see what DK says here. This precipitation is to be brought about by the gradual engendering of the divine idea in human consciousness. Now, the divine idea is coming from, minimally, the Buddhic plane, because it, you know, ideas are beings, and but the true idea, rather than simply a thought aspect of the idea, is engendered within the spiritual triad. Okay. Above everything else required at this time, and is this time our time too, is a recognition of the world of meaning. I'm going to get into that. A recognition of those who implement world affairs and who engineer those steps which lead mankind onward towards its destined goal, plus a steadily increased recognition of the plan on the part of the masses. There are three things here. And the divine, you see, the world of meaning is the world of the soul. The world of significance is the world of the triad. The world of being is the monadic level. The world of causes, in the ultimate sense, and ultimate archetypes, is the logoic plane. So even just soul recognition would be something. A recognition that the hierarchy truly exists. After all, what, you know, Master Moria, he has this very declamatory line, "Must we shout it in your ears," he says, "hierarchy." So, you know, he's trying to make a point, and people need to know and have a truer idea of what is hierarchy. And then, of course, the divine plan, which is, you know, it's not about believing in Jesus going to heaven and playing the harp. You know, obviously, such childish notions have to be put aside. The ongoingness of development has to be emphasized. And minds are very constricted. So it's tough to get through on that one. Just try it with a convinced dogmatist. So recognizing the plan, those three things. These three recognitions must be evidenced by humanity and affect human thinking and action if the total destruction of mankind is to be averted. Well, you know, that really gives you pause. You know, when was this written? Was it written in the anticipation that in World War II there could have been the total destruction of humanity? Or, as I suspect, was it written afterwards and repeated afterwards, that even after the war, the intervention of Shambhala and the total destruction of humanity and the going back to start all over again was still a possibility, as he says, that can be visioned, meaning it was a possibility. Maybe it still is. The total destruction of mankind, if that is to be averted. So, in order, the three recognitions, they still hold good today. These recognitions, of the world of the soul, of the masters, and of the plan. Now, surely, we can do something to bring that to the attention, to the accepting, believing attention of humanity. Okay. They must form the theme of all propaganda work to propagate ideas, you know, to be done during the next few decades. So it's beginning to sound more and more like, you know, after the war, during the next few decades, until the year 2025, that we are closing in on now, just 4.5 years, WASAC 2025, a brief space of time, indeed, to produce the fundamental changes in human thought, awareness, and direction, but at the same time, a quite possible achievement, provided the new group of world servers and the men and women of goodwill perform a conscientious task. So talk about responsibility. There it is. We're even talking about the possible destruction of humanity unless these three recognitions are going to enter humanity's consciousness in an impressive way. And what makes me think that some of this took place after the war, he said, evil is not yet sealed. And basically he said, look, you know, the Allies won the war, but they did not seal away the evil in any final manner. And he said that after the war. Evil is not yet sealed. The spread of the Christ consciousness and his recognized presence with us is not yet attained. The plan is not yet so developed that its structure is universally admitted. Evil has been driven back. Okay, so that did occur with the surrender of the Axis powers. There are enough people aware of the possibility of divine enlightenment and of interdependence, which is the basis of love, to form a potent nucleus, provided again that the, and here, you know, he's talking to us, provided again that the inertia so prevalent among spiritual people is overcome. Well, is it true of us? The inertia so prevalent among spiritual people is to be overcome. There is divine indication of coming events and a planned progress towards them. And this is already arousing interest among thinkers in many lands. However, the necessary responsive planning is still lacking. Okay, I think that's all we'll do, because it's plenty, you know, it's plenty. And if you wish to offer a thought on that or question, whatever, we can offer that possibility now before we get into the meditation. So now, Tuya, maybe, are you there, dear? Hello?
Oops. I am here.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, please do that.
Can you help people? Can you call on people?
Yes, I can.
If they volunteer, if they want to say something or ask something or write something, whatever.
Yeah. Yes, dear. I will.
Okay. If there's anybody that would like to do that. I mean, such dire things, you know, such dire things, and the possibility that intervention from Shambhala for the very first time in a war, a religious war, by the way, could occur.
Michael, maybe we go into meditation. I think the energy is calling for that.
Okay, okay. Now, do you want to do that or?
Would be nice if you do that.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
All right. So, you know, without the bells and whistles, but anyway, best I can do it. Yeah. So, on the ground, there is division between those who support the divine plan as much as they can understand it and realize there is a divine plan, and those who care for themselves only and for their those who are like them, namely selfishness and power. But we are here, a little bit, as it were, in the place of crisis. The United States right now, the whole of humanity is going through crisis, of course, but this is a decisive battle which will either preserve the hierarchical form of government, democracy, or will allow totalitarianism again to take over. So we surround, as it were, the three members of the governmental triangle, the White House, the Capitol, the Supreme Court. And that will have an effect in many countries where parallel institutions exist. And we try to offer protection. Think of yourself as part of a guardian wall of radiating energy, of light and love and the will to good. Pause for a moment. Think of the guardianship that encircles, can encircle the three major centers of government. There's an image as we begin to know what spiritual will is, this will to good. We form a unit in Maitreya's army, as it is discussed in Agni Yoga. It's an army whose weapons are the divine potencies. And there we are, helping harmony come and unity come to the three major branches, reflecting the three major rays operative at this time. The first, the second, the seventh, or even 1, 2, 3. this esoteric guardian wall, reflection of the great guardian wall that by means of which hierarchy protects humanity, can be effective. And we're part of it. We realize. And there are great energies available. There is a solar angel for all the nations, developing nations even, but maybe not as active, but in developing or developed nations, very active. And it's probably a second ray angel correlating with the angel of the presence. And awareness of this solar angel, the soul nature of the United States, can help us live up to our motto, I light the way, and pass the power of that motto on to others, just the way all nations will pass the expression of their motto to the other nations. But this is one of the first. In psychology and spirituality, in the disciplines of unity, I light the way. Let's have some moments of silence. These great spiritual potencies are leading humanity forward. And not every person nor every nation knows which way to go. But under soul guidance, I light the way can mean something. It's a lot of very high kind of sixth ray in this image here. But it certainly has to do with the divine origin of that experiment we call the United States. And we say to ourselves, in alignment with the Christ and the many great souls who have brought this experiment to a reasonable point of success, at least in the past, we say, we have gathered in your name, Lord Maitreya, be with us. So to have a nation through which the Christ is, the real Christ is working, is a lot different than the dogma, which is often childish and incites people to personality attitudes rather than true soul attitudes. Every nation has its chakras, its centers. DK hints at some of these when dealing with what he calls the British Commonwealth. And he hints at the major city chakras of the United States, and we're particularly dealing now with Washington, D.C. on the first ray, the head center, at this time anyway, and Los Angeles, the heart center, with its golden Buddhic radiance, and New York, a planetary center, and the throat center of the United States. The communications and financial center, you know, so much about the third ray. And getting these three again, getting this triangle to be developed and really work together. That's what we must envision. Because when they are functioning truly together, head, heart, and throat, it will mean that we approach that ability to psychologically, spiritually light the way forward, of which the Statue of Liberty, a great sixth ray symbol. Remember the word of power of the sixth ray, the highest light controls. And look how she holds that light aloft. So, idealism of the right kind, and union between the three major centers. We think in those terms. And maybe every day we give a moment or two to visualizing the connection between these centers. But of course, this work that leads to the reappearance of the Christ is actually dangerous work, risky, and the Tibetan has given us some protective methods. And so we draw this long arm cross of divinity from the forehead to the heart, to the left eye, to the right eye, tracing light as we go. And that cross operates for the entire group as well as for the individuals in the group. So, starting with the forehead, as a soul, I work in light. Heart and darkness cannot touch me. left eye. I take my stand within the light, right eye. And from that point, I never move. And then we retrace the cross of protection. As we enter into this kind of work, we realize the occultist, like the white magician, is always careful and fulfills the law of the process. There's nothing haphazard about this. As a soul, I work in light. I take my stand within the light. Rather, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. Trace the cross. A great experiment is operating with the Maha Chohan. So recently, the Maha Chohan, just about 100 years ago, and it's a very long term of office that the Maha Chohan occupies or fulfills. The regent of the United States, the regent of Europe, the Master Rakotsi, the former Comte de Saint-Germain, one of the most externalizing of the masters, known as a real figure in Europe in the 18th century. So our goal is to help him bring unity to these two areas of experiment. We will be resisted, and the forces of obstruction will fight militantly against the progress of these two great areas. And we can use, when there is a real attack, the image of the entire spiritual hierarchy and the violet light. Just look up in A Treatise on White Magic the discussion about how to handle fear. Because when we enter into the work of the hierarchy, even if on a much lower level, we're immediately the targets of those who don't want the plan to manifest as it should. So let us all work for unification. The special areas of unification now are the USA and Europe, but of course, the Russian Federation has to be considered. It's no longer just the Soviet Union, it's something more. And some movement towards unification is required in order to round out these three great national areas which hold the salvation of humanity in their hands. And the angelic kingdom is here as well. The Archangel Michael, many different strata of archangels, but the highest stratum that we've been made aware of is Archangel Michael is the planet of Saturn, conforming to the good law and bringing humanity into the fulfillment of the law. And overcoming the dweller force. So maybe we look at the United States and see Saturn, Michael, in the middle of it all, insisting that the law be followed, not the overthrow for egotistical reasons of the law. No, the following of the divine plan and the law ruled by Saturn. And we will have much of Saturn as we enter the Aquarian Age. Some will enter via Venus, some will enter via Saturn, but in general, that first decanate under Saturn counts. And it will be a time of great group discipline. Until the beauties of group work together can be experienced in the second and third decanate, each one lasting about 720 years. So let the power of Saturn in the right way increase in our lives. A great indigo light is what we need. It is from the soul of the solar logos, from the soul of the planetary logos, from the Christ and his hierarchy. The indigo synthetic light, uniting, synthesizing the centers of government, which have been so fractious. Just imagine that indigo light pouring through first the United States, and then, because the soul of humanity will eventually be the second, then throughout all humanity, the indigo light. these many states, now 50, and maybe increasing, must be brought into union under the indigo light. And that will be a help in bringing the many nations of the world into that union. E pluribus unum. E pluribus unum. Out of many, one. But we will need the power to ward off the divisive energies and our second great invocation will help us with that. Let the Lords of Liberation issue forth. Let them bring succor to the sons of men. Let the rider from the secret place come forth and coming save. Come forth, O Mighty One. Let the souls of men awaken to the light, and may they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe has come. Come forth, O Mighty One. The hour of service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad, O Mighty One. Let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, O Mighty One, and blend these three. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end. The sevenfold wheel of divine love, we imagine it, placed within the United States. We imagine the group standing at the center of that wheel, radiating the seven colors and their seven rays, and bringing them into synthesis. Each color, a kind of veil upon a particular divine quality, and all of them must be united as we attempt to synthesize the qualities found within the United States and by extension throughout humanity. There are so many different kinds of people, so many different kinds of thoughts, but they can be unified and they can be seen as part of the synthesis. And this is the healing that is now necessary, and so we have to think in healing terms, holistic terms. So that the great melting pot which the United States is intended to become can actually be achieved. And we can have unity in diversity. Diversity in unity, e pluribus unum. And then with all the nations of the world, international cooperation and unity. And if we are successful, we can begin this process of the externalization of the mottos, I light the way. And the many soul mottos can begin to emerge from the different countries and the soul expression can take over from the frictional expression of the fourth ray. I light the way. You may want to read Lincoln's second inaugural address. The lines, with malice towards none, with compassion for all, stand out. The need to bind up the nation's wounds. So high from an avatar which humanity itself produced. I light the way. Let us bless the indigo forces within the nation, protect, bless and protect, strengthen so that those indigo forces in the form of the new administration can come closer to undoing the bad and reinstating the good and going beyond. I light the way. May the blessings of the Christ and of the hierarchy rest upon all true servers. And may they stand tranquil and peacefully in the midst of strife and crises. And may we fulfill our responsibility in this regard. We will go on tomorrow. Now, there's lots of changes, and we're not, we're suspending for a little while the ASK programs as we get ready for very strong solstice work and Christmas work and New Year's work. So we assume you have been sent the calendar with the links. And if not, write to Michael, Stacy, Tuya, and or me. And we'll make sure that those links are in your hands, and the schedule is in your hands. So 8 o'clock tomorrow night at GMT, we will continue with our work. And the quotation here, to be remembered, all of the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle. From St. Francis. So, love and many blessings from Tuya and myself and the communications group and everybody at Moria Federation, USR, and Seven Ray Institute. We appreciate your presence and your persistence. And so forward we go, and thank you for meditating with us. And bye for now.